welcome to Book Banter. This evening, I am super excited to talk to Maddie Hannon. She is a local author illustrator. She's an amazing artist. I will link to her website later. It is so cute. Her art is so amazing. She's a high school science teacher by day, avid creative by night. She has this signature whimsical charm to her art, which you will all just love. We are going to talk about Maddie's first book. There we go. We'll talk about that later too. Scrim on the Run. This is so adorable. Oh my gosh. If you guys don't know the story of Scrim, we will get into that this evening too, because you need to know who Scrim is, like, for real, and then also get to know Scrib in the pages of her book. He's so adorable. So without further ado, I am going to welcome Maddie to Book Banter. Hi.
Hi. Hello. Oh, my dog's trying to jump up on me, but hello.
I'm like in love with your art, which I'm like sad to say I didn't know about your art until this Scrim book came out. And that's amazing. That's good news, because like the book is doing its job, but also you've been creating art for so long. I feel bad.
Well, that's okay. I mean, I've really been doing a lot of commission work. Like that's kind of where I got started doing art. And I feel like when I decided I wanted to be more illustrative and like take my own style more seriously, really only happened like maybe 2 or 3 years ago at the most. So, I mean, it doesn't really surprise me, because I really just kind of stayed in my lane of doing commissions for friends of friends and things like that, you know? But yeah, definitely in the last like 2 years, I feel like it's even in the last like 6 months, especially after the book and everything, it's like definitely skyrocketed. But thank you so much. I'm glad you like my art. That, you know, always makes me feel good, for sure.
Of course. So will you tell us, who is Scrim? Like, everybody in New Orleans knows Scrim, and Scrim right. makes some national news, but give us the Scrim lowdown.
Sure. So Scrim is a dog that wasn't owned by anyone, and he got picked up by a rescue because he didn't have an owner. You know, he was just kind of running amok down the bayou. And for some reason he got out, and he didn't get out initially. Like, he was fine for a couple months, but then he just took off. But what really made him famous was that like he couldn't be caught, but it wasn't that he couldn't be caught. He just was seen all the time, but couldn't be apprehended. And so the rescue was like, we need to get y'all to help us, maybe like take pictures of him. We can't really figure out how to get him. So then, of course, people were like, of course, we'll help you take pictures of this little dog. And after months and months, you know, people were like, this is crazy that this dog has like made it through hurricanes and all these storms. And, you know, we didn't see him for a few days, and people were like, oh no, like maybe something happened, and they'd see him again. And of course he got apprehended in this, like, I don't know. I think they like, you know, had to dart him and things like that. But then he jumped out of the second story window, which really skyrocketed him into fame, because of course she catches it on video. It's like a security camera, you know? So then it really got crazy, where it felt like that's when the New York Times picked it up and a lot of people started, you know, noticing it. Yeah. Of course, had to capture a jump. And kids, what's really funny, if kids don't know the story, they'll be like, did he jump out of a window? And I'm like, yes. I'm like, I would not do that if I were you. And they're like, he was okay. I'm like, yes, he was okay. But I really followed it from the very beginning. Like, I used to be the person to be like, have y'all heard of this dog? Have you heard of this dog? you know, because I followed the rescue from the beginning, Zeus's rescues. But he did, of course, the story does have a happy ending. He was, you know, serendipitously caught in a cat trap, which is really funny that it wasn't on purpose. And he's safe now. And like, you know, people at first were like, he needs to be free, but he's a dog. You know, he likes being home. Michelle is graciously like posts updates of him and things like that. So I just loved that people love the story so much. And it really felt like a story that people would want to tell for, you know, multiple generations. And the fact that kids like get to know about it and are like, this is a real story, you know, that's really fun for me. So I was very inspired by it, like from the beginning. So I just didn't want to write the story while he was like out and about. That felt bad to me. Like, what is the ending? So when he was caught the first time is when I really was like, okay, now I like want to sit down and really think about it. But I didn't really pull the trigger on it until my aunt Hollis, like, she was like, I really think you need to do it. And like, you need to sit down, you need to do it. And like that, for some reason, just pushed me. And I was like, all right, like, you know, for some reason, my aunt telling me that she really wanted me to do it, like really pushed me to sit down and work on it. So that's kind of the story of like how I kind of like got tied into the mix, I guess.
Well, and you make a good point. Like, even if you had the idea, there's no closure if he's still out and about, you know, it's almost like if you had done it too early, you would have had to create some type of closure. You can't just leave him out there, you know,
right?
The sunset, which would have been adorable, but no.
It would have made me like, and I actually did finish the story before he was caught the second time. I had finished it and just like sat on it because I was like, I feel like I can't go forward with this. Like, it just doesn't feel right. Like, I don't know. And, you know, right before I was like, you know, gonna pull the trigger is like when he got caught. So I like changed the last like words on the last page or two pages. I like changed the stanzas to be like, oh, he was like apprehended or, you know, like back home. So yeah, it was definitely a crazy, I mean, for the rescue too, I'm sure it was like a whirlwind, like just trying to navigate. People were like so excited about it, but also like, even for me, it was a lot at first. Like, people were asking me questions. I'm like, I'm just an enjoyer of the story, you know, like, but yeah, it's definitely a crazy story that people, even from New York, like when I go to the French Quarter and things like that, people are like, I'm like, oh, have you heard the story? They're like, oh yeah, I've heard it before. And that's pretty crazy to me that it's like not just a local story anymore.
Yes. Okay. So that kind of brings us to our first question. Nova, who's watching, is asking, have you ever met Scrim? So you say you're just a cat, like you're not a Scrim expert, but have you met Scrim?
Right. Yes. So I like reached out to Michelle, who owns Zeus's, like when I had finished the book, to be like, hey, like I have this idea, you know, I want to like work with you on it. I don't just want to like publish it without like you being involved. And when the story, she said, I don't want to see it until it's like a physical, like she was like, I just would rather have a physical book, you know, when it's done, like published. And I was like, okay. So I said, hey, I have the book, like I can come drop it off to you. And when I went to drop it off, she was like, well, do you want to come inside and like meet the Scrim? And I was like, yes. Like, I didn't want to ask, you know, like, can I meet the dog? Like, and she said that was like right after, like a few weeks after he'd been caught. And she said that they were really working on like desensitizing him, people coming in the house. So like, he wasn't, you know, like aggressive or anything. He was just very alert. Like, I remember walking in and like seeing his ears like perked up, like on the couch. And I was like, oh my gosh, like it's really him. So it was, yeah, I did get to meet him and I didn't pet him. Like, she said I could have pet him, but I could tell he was really like nervous. We had like turkey that we were like feeding him. And like, he was like, just like looking at me, like I'm scared. But I've heard he's gotten like a lot better. Cause I've, you know, talked to a few people that have seen him regularly and they're like, he's still scared, but he's got a lot, but I did get to meet him. I was very honored. I felt like starstruck. Like, I can't believe this is like really him, you know, like the Scrim. He's bigger than I thought he was going to be. I just imagine him being like a little dog. He's like medium size. So that was surprising.
That is surprising. Cause yeah, now yeah. I can picture him. I don't know. I mean, he's not tiny, tiny, but like a smaller dog for sure.
I guess I just didn't think about it. Like, yeah, when I look at him in pictures now, I'm like, yeah, he looks like a medium. I guess when I think he looks almost like a Westie or something, which are pretty small. So like, right. He's bigger than a Westie because he's just, you know, like a mixed dog. But I think that added to the allure. Like, his look really like added to the charm of the story. Like, he looked like a Lady and the Tramp, like scruffy, you know, white little dog that kind of added to the allure of the story for sure.
Well, yeah. And his coloring is such that you couldn't tell if he was just really dirty. Like when you would see him
right.
like, running yeah. by on a camera, you can't tell if he's just always been out for so long. He's very dirty or if he's more of a grayish color. So I think everything about him and this story just sort of like blends together in this perfect mix because
he's tiny, for sure.
But not so tiny that he can't care for himself. Clearly he made it out on the street.
Right.
Right. He's already looks a little scruffy. He's got that scruffy look. The coloring is perfect for him to be just, he's ruggedly handsome.
Ruggedly handsome. Yes, exactly.
And I didn't actually realize because I followed along, but not from the beginning of Scrim's like escape story. But afterwards, when I went back and did research, he escaped in 2023 and didn't get caught until 2024. Like he was literally the first time he was out for.
Yes. He was out for a really long time, which is really crazy. Like I will not forget. I think we had a hurricane. Like there was a major hurricane that he was out for. And of course the snow, which is like, right when I was writing it was around the snow time. And I will not forget, as soon as they were like, it's going to snow. And it was like, not going to be like a little trickle of snow. I was like, what about Scrim? Like he's out in the snow. Like what's going to happen, you know? And then of course they showed him on the camera, like 2 days later, like walking in the snow. And I was like, oh, thank God. Like that was the first thing I thought of was what about Scrim in the snow? You know, so he made it
in the snow either.
No, for sure. Yeah, the kids, there's a page in the book where he builds a little snowman and the kids are like, did he really build a snowman? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, we didn't get to see him, so maybe he did, you know.
Nova's also asking, how did you find the details to write the book? So it's not all fiction, right? And it's not. It's based on facts. So.
Yeah. Thankfully Zeus's like had basically a comprehensive history of it. Like I just went on their profile, I think. And they just had this like chunk of like, I think it's because they just got asked it so many times that they were like, we're just going to compile like all the information that we know about this dog. And so I got most of the information from that, like confirming the stuff that I had already known. I do a little bit of like pondering of like what was Scrim doing like when we weren't looking, you know, because that was like most of his life. That was something that I had fun with, like what was he really doing when we weren't watching, you know. But yeah, I had a fun, I thought it was really fun like blending the fiction with the facts. And like I want to do that, like I want to find another story that I can just like do that again, because it's fun bringing magic to something that's real that kids can kind of look at and be like, wait, I can like go home and talk to my parents about this. And, you know, they can show me articles about it and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun.
It's also fun when you're doing that, I imagine, with like an animal or something similar where you're allowed to play with it. Like you're not stepping on anyone's life or anyone's toes. Like
Right. You
can absolutely play with whatever it is he was doing out there.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I had to decide if I wanted him, like how human did I want him to be? Like, did I want him to be able to talk or is he just, but I stuck with like, he's just like full dog. Like we're keeping it pretty real with the facts. I feel like that was the way to go for me just because like, you know, so many people knew about it already that I wanted to keep it in grounded enough. But I did have to think about like, what direction did I want to go in and how much did I want to like skew from reality? So yeah, that's a good question for sure.
So just from like my curiosity, since you were coming from this artist background, did you do the art first or did you kind of think up the story and then build the art around it?
That's a good question. So I definitely thought about, so my like creative process is I really keep it in the back of my head for like a long time before I get anything out. I'm not like a, let me just like write everything down and like see what sticks. It's like in my head for a really long time. And then I'll be like, okay, now I feel like I have one line or one thing that I know, and now I'm gonna like write it. The story definitely came first, like what I got down on paper, but I knew in my head what I wanted the art to look like. So I hadn't drawn it yet. I actually, funny enough, like drew the cover first. Like that was the first thing I drew. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes I feel like the cover's like the last thing, or like the cover was first and then the last page with like the cathedral was the second page that I did. Cause that's how I kind of like grounded myself in like what kind of direction I wanted to go in. The story just kind of like, I actually wrote a whole story. Funny enough, I wrote the whole thing before I drew it. sent it to the publisher, and then immediately was like, actually, this is really bad. Like, I'm going to write another one. Like, I just didn't even like proof it. Because it was just so like topical that I was like, just kidding. Here's a actual, don't read that first one. Like, read this one instead. And thankfully they had like a relationship with me already, that they knew that I wasn't, you know, like it was, I was like, this is very unprofessional, but you know, whatever. The first one was totally different. Same idea, but just like not, it wasn't good. And then I was like, okay, we're scrapping that whole thing. We're restarting the story. And the art really never changed. I did do a few pages like fully colored in with different colors. Like the color scheme is kind of like monochromatic for the most part. And I hated how it looked with everything. Like he just kind of got lost on the pages. So I decided to do like the monochromatic look. But I didn't really have a lot of time to like worry about these minute details, in essence, that, you know, like I have another book coming out that I like slaved over like each piece of like making sure everything was so perfect. But that this story didn't like, I didn't feel like it lended itself to that type of style, because the story was so like almost like chaotic. Like it was like this evolving story that felt very fast moving, and I wanted the style of art to kind of reflect that. And I always had the idea of it kind of being a very loose, like, you know, all the lines aren't like colored perfectly. That's kind of the style I wanted to go for. But yeah, it definitely was like a whirlwind of me trying to like get ideas on the paper, and my publisher being okay with me being like, just pretend I didn't send you that first one. Here's another one that's better.
Well, okay. So that's the perfect segue, because I said this is your second first book, right?
Right.
Your first second book or something like that.
Yes.
You have another book that's coming out in September, but we talked about it briefly before we went live. That was the one you wrote first.
Yes.
Right? So tell me how that like worked out.
So in November of last year, well, it must have been like September or October. I have been working on a children's book that's coming out now in July called The Little Lost Alligator for years, like 5 or 6 years. Like my first book, very nervous, like people aren't going to like it. Worked on the manuscript for like literally years, because I was just like, I don't really know how to write a children's book. And submitted that one to Pelican, and they called me and were like, we love it. Like we want to, you know, do it. And I was like, great. So that was in like November, you know, we went through the process of like the editing and like, you know, didn't hear from them for a while, like just like regular publishing stuff. And they were like, it's going to publish in spring of 2025. And then the Scrim stuff happened, and I had sent them everything. And they actually initially told me no, not because they didn't like it, but because I said, if you want to publish this book, you need to publish it now. And I don't know if you have like the capability to do that. Right. Like I was like, I just don't know if like that's a thing that you can do. And they were like, I don't think we can. And I was like, that's totally fine. Like I'm just going to self-publish it, whatever. And then like literally like I was ready to hit the self-publish on Amazon, like days, like one day away from doing it. I just like hadn't pulled the trigger yet because I was like nervous. And the publisher called me and was like, so we want the book. We changed, you know, we went up to the higher ups and like and I said, y'all can turn it around in like a couple weeks. And they were like, yes. And so that was like a whirlwind. And they were literally like pushing and they told me, this is not normal procedure. Like, we do not do this. I said, no, I totally get it. But they like pushed all their other projects back, including my first, second book, to do this. So they, like literally they were like, we've never had like two books at the same time of a person that's never been published before. Like this is not, they put a lot of faith and trust in me. I'll say that. Like, I was like, I'm glad y'all believe in me. Cause, you know, it took a lot of trust to be like, we're going to put this book out there that we had to go to the CEO to like get approval for. So better do a good job, you know? But yeah, it was great. So that's why the Little Lost Alligator, literally, I got the final proofs like after the Scrim book. Like they were like, yeah, we had to like stop for this. So we delayed it till July. So that book will be coming out in July. So kind of like back to back, you know, I'm kind of feel like I'm still riding the Scrim on the run wave, which is great because this it's like I worked for so many years on the Little Lost Alligator book that, and I was so nervous about like people's perception of me or like me as an author, me as an illustrator, like put myself out there like that. But the response of Scrim on the Run has just been like so overwhelmingly good that it makes me feel, and people are like excited. They were like, we want to see more of your work, which is like really kind of incredible that people, you know, enjoy my writing and art, because it's like very scary to be like, I'm just gonna like, hopefully people like my art, you know? So it's been really rewarding for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you've put, it seems like it might be like the sort of the perfect combo, because if you hadn't already put in all that work for the Little Lost Alligator and got an okay, you know, you've got a publisher and all that, you may not, your aunt's words might not have been enough. Like, you're like, but what would I right. do with it? Like,
you exactly. know,
mm-hmm. This way you had like an avenue at least to try it, and you knew you could do it. So it gave you that bit to be like, yeah, no, this is the subject. Well, let's do this. And so yeah. That's perfect, because we get both. And yeah, you get to ride that Scrim like hype for your first book when it right. does come out.
I think the first book, I don't think Scrim on the Run would have been as good, because I took the critiques from the first book of the art and the writing and like what I could, they're like, this is what people like, this is what people don't like, you know? So I feel like, I agree. I don't think I would have been as like ready to jump on it if I didn't have that background of support from, you know, because I didn't really, people didn't know. Like, my friends were like, we didn't know you were doing that, you know? So I kind of kept it to myself. Like, they knew I drew, I always am drawing pictures, but it's different when you're like writing and putting a whole book together. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. You know, I cannot draw. Like, I draw stick figures poorly, so I've got nothing there. But it's interesting when people see, like, you have one piece of art and they see your pieces of art as the separate entities. And then when you think of a book, you're like, well, I have to put it all together. So I imagine like people are like, wait, you can make a story out of this too? Like, that's a multi-talented, which it is. And you're amazing. Yeah. And it's great.
Thank you.
But like, it is interesting like to think like, yeah, I could just put a story with these two pieces of art.
Yeah. And like continuous pieces of art versus like a standalone, like this is one thing. And now it's like, that's really hard. The cohesiveness. And that's something that the publisher was like, you got to make sure this is the same as this. Like, things that as an artist, I'm like, oh, I don't want to look at this drawing anymore. But they're like, no, like this is going to be in print forever. Like, you got to, you know, make it cohesive. So that's definitely always the nitty gritty of like making the edits and making sure everything is, you know, solidified. So.
Yes. Okay. So we have, first of all, we have just an I love Scrim and love the book.
Thank you.
This is not a name, so I would mess that up, but you should look at that handle.
Oh, yeah. I think that's my friend Tyler. Hi, Tyler. Okay. Yeah.
And then Daniel says, my daughter loved Finding the Cats, which, thank you, Daniel, because that's an amazing segue to the other one thing that I definitely wanted to mention. They're cats.
In yes.
Every page of this book, like tiny.
Yes.
I have not even found them all. And now on your website, you have a cheat sheet. Like, you can click on it if you want. If you're having trouble finding all the cats in the book,
right.
You want help, you can get that from Maddie's website, which I'll link later in the comments. But I haven't clicked on it yet because there's still a couple pages I'm like staring at going, I'm going to find these. These are
some of them are really hard. I didn't realize like how hard they were until I was like, hadn't been staring at the page. But yes, I have always done that since high school. Like, I used to go by Maddie Cat. Like, that's my art name, Art by Maddie Cat. Not for any reason. It's just like, it was a running joke. Like, I don't know if you remember back in like 2012, the internet was like obsessed with cats. It was like kind of a joke. So I just kind of started running with it. And I just one day, I used to do a lot of art for my high school, like t-shirt designs and banners. I just like decided to put a little cat head, like this is a joke. And then everyone was like, oh, you're gonna like keep doing it, right? And then it just like kind of spiraled. And when I did my first book, I was like, I want to put cats on every page because that's like fun and cute. So that's been really nice. Like, the kids love it. Like, they love coming up to me and like showing me that they know where they are and stuff. But, I did forget one on the cat trap page. So don't look for, I like, of course, in my haste, because that was the page I did last. Like, I just threw it together. And then after it published, I was like, there's no cat on this page. So I will not make that mistake for the future. I trust me. They sent me those final proofs of Little Lost Alligator. And I was like meticulously like making sure you could see each one.
Nice. Okay. So that is, yeah. So I love that we're going to get more like little cats to find in the Little Lost.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so glad people like that. I didn't know if people were going to care, but it seems like, especially like the kids, they really go for it, which is fun. Yeah.
Well, it's like this little Easter egg almost.
Yeah, you know, thank this, you. Like,
interactive element.
Yeah.
That is just great. It's adorable. So, okay, you said that you picked it from like because it was just cats were cool at the time, but are you a cat person or are you a dog person?
So, I have a dog and I have a cat. I feel like I still at heart am a cat person. Like, I think that's just ingrained in me. But I do love my dog. But I would say if you were to ask me if I was a cat or a dog person, I would say cat. Yeah.
Same. I have a cat and a dog and I would
be. You kind of give me cat person energy too. Like, I feel like I can kind of see that, you know, it's a compliment. Well,
I'm glad it's coming through on the camera.
Yeah.
Daniel brings up another good point. It gave us a reason to admire the art for longer. So
thank you.
Tell people it was always part of the plan.
Yes, definitely.
It's part of your genius artistic vision.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was the plan the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, everybody, I'm going to put the link to Maddie's website here. You can see where she's appearing, her book, her upcoming book, all of her art. And like I said, there's the little cheat sheet if you're having trouble finding some of the cats.
Yes.
In Scrim on the Run, you can click the little button. It's not like you have to get there, so it's not going to sneak up on you.
Right.
If you need a little bit of help. And then also, if you want to see Maddie in person coming up, Maddie is going to be at Blue Cypress Books this Sunday for story time. I'm going to stick the link to that in the comments so there's more info there. And you can get the times and everything you need from that link. And then I think we did it. We made it.
Yeah. I'm super excited to go to Blue Cypress. So, and that was like one of the main places people were like, you gotta go, you gotta get to Blue Cypress, you know? So I'm really excited to go for sure.
Well, I mean, Kitty Meow needs a picture with at least the Scrim. Yes. Like we can't, yes, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect.
Yes. Kitty Meow.
So yeah, thank you all for watching and for commenting. I truly appreciate it. It helps every little comment, every little bit. We love talking to you and I love interacting and knowing that you're out there. And Maddie, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Grab a copy of Scrim on the Run. I think I already put that link in there, but I'm going to do it again. See it right there. So
that's
so
okay.
You can grab a copy of Scrim on the Run from that link, or you can grab a copy in person on Sunday at Blue Cypress Books and they will be signed. And yeah, thank you all very much.
Yeah, thank you. This was super fun. Yeah, thank you.
All right, y'all. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Book Banter with Raina. I have been your host, Raina Nielsen. Theme music and production assistance was provided by Hoodoo Phonics Productions.